You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Okay, guys, hey, Sam, Jay Jones here, Flash Gordon, and you are listening to the Flopcast. For real. I'm not teasing you.
Live from Chicken Town, this is the Flopcast, episode 517.
On flopcast.net.
Yes, yes, hello, Cornflake.
Oh, hello. How are you, Kevin?
I'm fine, and this is exciting. I think we have a special guest on the line with us once again, a returning guest to the Flopcast after, it must have been a year or so. Everybody, welcome back, our buddy all the way from Michigan, Blasted Bill.
Boom shakalaka. Hello, Kevin and Cornflake.
Hi.
Yeah, welcome back.
Yeah, it's been pretty much exactly a year, I think.
It's been about a year, and nothing's happened. Nothing's changed. Here we all are. But we're very glad to have you here. Bill is here on official business for another Flopcast flop fight.
Yes.
That'll be good. We'll be getting into that in just a minute. But hey, before we get to that, how about Cornflake? National Whatever Day.
National Whatever Day!
Bill and Kevin, you know who's turning 85 on April 6th?
I do not.
85? No. What's going on?
William December Williams Jr., better known as Billy D. Williams.
Oh,
good one.
We're talking Lando Calrissian.
I never knew his full name.
Yeah, the D is for December.
Yeah, when you say William Williams... it never occurred to me that was his name.
I think he's pretty smart to make his showbiz name Billy Williams, but you don't think about it, right? And then you're like, wait, Billy is short for that guy's first name is William. His last name is Williams. Nobody ever thinks about it.
I'm a William and I never thought of that.
And wow, 85. That sneaked up on me. I had no idea Billy D was reaching the age of 85.
Well, you wouldn't think of it because he, after his original appearance in the Star Wars movies, he reprised his role so many years later. Not like the dad of Lando Calrissian or anything like that. He was Lando Calrissian again.
Yeah, and still looking great. He was great. We all love Billy D. And I mean, Billy D. Williams was a known guy pre-Star Wars. Like, he was a famous name heading into Empire Strikes Back. And I remember that being a name even before I didn't really see him in much of anything until Empire. But I remember, like, on the Jeffersons, like, Florence the Maid would always be talking about Billy D. Williams. she was madly in love with Billy D. Williams.
He was on 227 some years later, too, paired up with Marla Gibbs.
Oh, yeah, well, there, her wish came true then. She got actual Billy D. Williams. Nice. And then, I mean, another big Billy D. credit for super nerds like us would be the first Batman movie.
The
first Tim Burton, Michael Keaton movie, Batman 1989. He was Harvey Dent, District Attorney Harvey Dent, who the idea was that would be Two-Face, of course. You know, Harvey Dent becomes Two-Face.
Right.
So it was, okay, here's Billy D just hanging around a little minor part in the first movie, and then he'll be Two-Face for a sequel. And then, of course, that didn't happen, because two movies later, when they finally got around to doing Two-Face, Billy D was out.
Mm-hmm.
Tommy Lee was in. They got Tommy Lee Jones. So we missed out on Billy as Two-Face.
That's too bad.
But, well, we did get his voice as Two-Face in the Lego Batman movie.
Oh,
there you go. Well, all is forgiven then.
There you go.
It came full circle. Another fun fact I learned about Billy D. Williams is, did you know he has a twin?
No.
No. Wow. That is fantastic Billy D. Williams trivia.
Yeah, he has a twin sister named Loretta.
Huh. We're just stunned into silence by that.
Well, I really meant to blow you away with today's National Whatever Day, but you don't get much cooler than Lando Calrissian. Come on.
They could have played Two-Face together. Billy and Loretta could have been the two faces.
Yes.
I would have loved that.
Sure. And I was thinking, I know we were talking about this, a year or so back, how there are so few people left from the original Star Wars trilogy. As far as like the main cast, it's Mark Hamill, it's Harrison Ford, it's James Earl Jones.
Yeah.
Billy Dee.
Billy Dee is still with us. He's still living it up.
C-3PO is still alive, right? Anthony.
And Anthony Daniels. Yes. Yes. Good catch. I knew I was missing somebody.
I was going through the list and I'm like, we're missing someone.
Yeah. So, man, we're really down to those five, I think. But obviously, I mean, Star Wars is 45 years old now, I guess. So anybody involved is certainly getting on, getting up there in years. But nevertheless, I was startled by that number. For Billy Dee. But that's a good one. You have some fantastic Billy Dee trivia for us today, Cornflake. Very nicely done.
Happy to provide it. Well, we had to bring out the best because we've got Blasted Bill here.
We have a Bill, so bring the other Bill.
Yes. All right. Happy birthday to Billy Dee and to Loretta.
Yeah, his sister deserves a happy birthday, too. You're right.
Who we just found out about just now. Well, the reason we have Blasted Bill here on the Flopcast, this was Bill's idea. Bill reached out just this week and said, hey, let's do a flop fight. And Bill even pitched the topic for the flop fight. And listeners may have noticed for the last several weeks, we're just completely out of ideas. We've got nothing going on around here. So we just jumped on that. Like, yes, absolutely, Bill, let's do it. Are you busy tomorrow? And we just rushed this into production. And here we are.
Yeah, I've been wanting to be on a flop fight for a while. These are fun.
Yeah, we've done a bunch of these now. It's our in-house Flopcast tournament, the flop fight. And the subject was suggested by Bill. Bill, what is our subject?
It is 80s vehicles.
Yeah, that's a great subject for a flop fight. Now, listeners may also remember that we've done a vehicle tournament down at Dragon Con many years ago. I'm going to say this was 9 years ago. We did a American Sci-Fi Classics Track vehicle tournament. It was called the Super Vehicle Showdown. And in fact, you can hear that audio because we made a Flopcast episode out of it. That's the notorious Monkeys versus Minions tournament.
Yes.
Broke out at the end of the Super Vehicle Showdown. That's all in one magic episode. But that tournament, that was a straight Sci-Fighters tournament down at Dragon Con. So it wasn't as crazy a format as the flop fight. So that'll be different today. And the other difference is that the Super Vehicle Showdown was not 80s.
Right.
That had vehicles from the 60s and from the 70s.
Spanned decades.
And in fact, the winner of the Super Vehicle Showdown was the Batmobile, as in the 1966 Adam West TV Batmobile, which shall not be winning today because that's the 60s.
Yep.
We are very much in the 80s today. 80s only vehicles shall be competing.
Excellent.
I'm excited about this.
Let's see what happens. Now, Bill suggested a few vehicles to compete, so all of Bill's suggestions have been incorporated into the flop fight, as well as a few weird ones. I didn't include all the super obvious ones.
Yes.
So I'm trying to really mix it up. So some of the bigger vehicles of the 80s that people are probably thinking of. Some of the big ones are here. Some of them are not. I left some obvious ones out to make room for some weirder stuff.
Yeah, you got to have the weirder stuff in too.
Oh, we do.
Because in a flop fight, they can come and take it all.
You never know what's going to happen in a flop fight.
Yes.
So I've got my coffee mugs here. I have a coffee mug with Lionel Richie's face on it. And it says, hello, is it tea you're looking for? I guess it's a tea mug, not a coffee mug. That mug has all the little slips of paper with all the names of various 80s vehicles in it. I have a second tea mug, which also has Lionel Richie's face on it, and which also says, hello, is it tea you're looking for? So I've got two identical mugs here, so this could get this could be a problem. We'll see.
That sounds either glorious or like a design flaw. I'm not sure which. I guess we'll find out.
I didn't think this through very well. And I have a third mug as well, which contains my actual coffee.
Don't mix that one up.
Well, at some point, I'm just going to stuff my hand right into it because that generally happens at some point during a flop fight as I just reach into the mug that's actually full of coffee.
You've been known to have yourself a sip of paper slips, too. So.
Yes. I'm going to pull out slips of coffee and drink the paper at some point.
Sounds perfect.
But let's go. We got a long way to go. This is just part one. I hope you're available next week, Bill, because flop fights are two-parters.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But
let's do it.
For now, we're gonna knock out eight contestants today, and then eight more will compete next week. So for the opening round, I have got the coffee mug here, and we're going to pull out our first contestant. All right, I have drawn... Oh, this is one of Bill's suggestions. This is a big one. As we said, there will be some big, major, important vehicles in the tournament and some goofy stuff. But we've got Kit.
I was wondering if it was Kit.
Yes.
From Knight Rider, we have Kit.
One of my faves.
Fan favorite, Kit.
Excellent. Yes.
That's K-I-T-T. I can't remember what it stands for. What does the name mean?
Knight Industries 3000, or 2000. 2000.
All right. I knew it stood for something.
It's a good thing you're here, Bill. I couldn't have pulled that out.
And then what about the evil one? There was the evil version of Kit called Car.
Car, yes. Car was Knight Automated Roving Robot.
Wow.
Yes. And then there was also the other evil one, Goliath, which was a semi-truck driven by... Michael Knight's twin, evil twin. Yes. So it was actually, it's a big convolution, but it was an evil twin, and he had a goatee.
Yes, I remember the evil goatee.
Yes.
Version of Hasselhoff.
And then, of course, there was Cat, Knight Automated Tabby.
I don't remember
I'm Cat. Making Cat up. I just want
the okay,
Cat.
Okay, all right. I'm like, I know a lot about all the Knight Riders, and I don't remember that one. I think there's been...
And yet, Cat could somehow win this thing. You never know what's going to happen.
I think there's been 4 or 5 reboots now of Knight Rider. So, and I've watched them all.
I remember trying to watch a reboot. Oh, it must have been 15 years ago or so. There was a reboot.
Yeah, around 2000, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was not great, as I recall.
Was it the one vehicle or the 5 vehicles?
I just remember one. And it was like shape-shifting. It was ridiculous. Like the car could start changing shape. I just couldn't buy into that.
That was the most recent reboot. There was 2 others before that.
Oh, wow. I require a certain level of realism in my Knight Rider.
What's funny about Knight Rider is that almost all of the like special powers he has is now on our cell phones.
That's true, yeah.
Let me pull up navigation for you, Michael. Here it is on my cell phone.
That's a great point. Kit is suddenly not so impressive, is he? All right, well, here is a supercar Kit, who was most impressive in the mid-80s. Kit shall be facing our second contestant for our opening round is...
I can't believe we have Kit right out of the gate.
We have another car from the 80s. A cartoon animated Saturday morning car, in this case. A freakish hybrid monstrosity mutant of a car. We've drawn...
I think I know.
Turbo Teen.
Yeah! Turbo Teen!
What were you saying about requiring realism, Kevin?
Oh, I totally buy into Turbo Teen. That could totally happen.
Oh, yeah. The government does all kinds of wacky things. That could happen.
Turbo Teen, it was a kid with his car, and then the kid and the car together were caught in some kind of a lab accident, and they fused together into one entity so the kid could transform back and forth. It was a human teenage boy who could turn into a car.
And he transformed with either hot water or cold water, just like Rama One Half.
That's right. And it was the transformation sequence that they would show was just freaky.
I was just showing someone, I think it was my roommate, about a week ago, this thing. And he's like, that is disturbing. And I'm like, yeah, kind of was.
It's nightmarish. Yeah, everybody, make sure you watch the Turbo Teen transformation. It's astonishing. All right, so we've got 2 bizarre supercars of the mid-80s facing off for our opening match. The question is, what are they doing? Because in a flop fight, each pairing has its own individual, randomly selected, specific competition. That's what the second Lionel Richie mug is for.
It could be anything. It could be going through the drive-thru for all we know.
I'm going to reach in right now, determine the competition, and the competition is... Well, this is another Billy. We had Billy D. Williams. We've got Blasted Bill here, but the competition is... The Billy Ocean, Get Out of My Dreams, Get Into My Car music video.
Oh, wow.
We were just discussing this on the show a few weeks ago because we watched the Billy Ocean music video, Get Out of My Dreams, Get Into My Car. It's a great video. It's Billy D. He's in a convertible. He drives the convertible into a car wash. The roof goes up on the car just in time. Inside the car wash, there's a cartoon fish swimming around him. A girl from the car wash hops in the car. They go to a drive-in movie in which Billy Ocean is singing up on the big screen. It's fantastic.
Would you, if you sang a song, would you go to a drive-in that was featuring you singing the song and you were up on the screen? Would you do it?
That's the only kind of drive-in that I go to.
I was going
to
say, would you have the ego to do it? What about you, Blast It Bill? Would you do it?
Of course. Of course.
Oh, I'd be mortified. I don't think I could do it.
Such an egomaniac that I insist I'm not going to a drive-in unless I am on screen singing. Yes.
I am quite the egomaniac. I love watching myself. I love listening to myself. Yes.
All right. So the competition is which one of these vehicles would be better for the Billy Ocean video? Who do we see Billy sitting inside for the video, Kit or Turboteen?
Now, at first, we might think that this is a clear-cut winner because in the original video, we have a convertible, and Turboteen is a convertible.
Yeah.
However, I would like to point out that in Knight Rider, towards the later seasons, he had his monocular bonding removed, and they actually gave him a Super Pursuit mode, which also included a convertible mode. So if we're talking about the later edition kit, he does turn into a convertible.
All right, so both are eligible for this.
Either vehicle functions as a convertible. Now, if only for the rhyme, I've got to point out, it would be awfully fun to see Billy Ocean sitting in Turboteen singing Caribbean Queen.
Ah, yes, there you go. So the only issue with Turboteen is there the appropriate temperature water around for him to turn into the car? Could he be the car on command? Whereas Kit is always the car.
Would Turboteen transform back into a kid in the middle of the car wash?
That would be so awkward.
That's right. Now, I can't remember which temperature turned in which way, because it's been a while.
And then the kid would come crawling out of the car wash with Billy Ocean just sitting on his back.
And his date, right?
And the girl, yes, I would love to see that.
Yes. Now, does that make it a better video or a worse video?
I think that makes it a much better video.
Yeah.
I mean, now that we're on this track, I feel like we've seen Billy Ocean in a cool car just cruising along as he would in Kit. What we haven't seen is Billy perched atop a teenage boy who used to be a car, but not anymore because he switched back.
Oh, no.
I feel like I'd rather see Turboteen.
I think that despite the fact that I really want Kit to win, I think you have a fine point there. And I will also go with Turboteen.
I can't believe this is happening.
This is one of those crazy upsets that only happens in a flop fight. But look at this. Round one, first match, Kit. Got to be considered an early favorite. Knocked out by Turboteen. Turboteen advances. Let's go to the next match.
Oh my goodness. You can go on to the next match. It's going to take me a minute to recover over here.
Yeah. Things have already gone off the rails.
Need a big old sip of my drink now.
Up next, well, this is a sort of Kit adjacent. We're going a few years later after Knight Rider. I believe this was also a Glenn A. Larson production, and very similar. We have the truck from Highwayman. Remember Highwayman?
Ooh.
We've talked about this on the Flapcast a few times.
I never actually watched Highwayman. But I think I tried finding it after you guys were talking about it. And I saw at least the transformation scenes of it, but I never actually watched an episode.
It's like, what if Kit was a giant truck in the future?
with a helicopter, if I remember.
With a helicopter, driven by Flash Gordon.
Yeah.
That's the premise. This was Sam Jones, who played Flash Gordon in the movies. Now he's in the future, and it's like future law enforcement kind of dude who drives around in a giant tractor trailer. And yeah, the cab of the trailer transforms into a helicopter.
That's intense.
It was amazing. It did not last long. Handful of episodes. His sidekick was Jacko.
Yeah.
The crazy Australian Energizer battery dude.
Yes.
Who I asked Sam Jones about working with Jacko once. And Sam said to me he had to have a conversation with Jacko and kind of get him in line. Also on Highwayman was Tim Russ, who went on to be the Vulcan on Star Trek Voyager, Tuvok.
Ah, yes.
He was the mechanic, I think. So a cool show, which did not last long. The truck from the Highwayman will be facing the tractor that Kevin Bacon drives in Footloose.
Yeah.
I also don't think I've ever watched Footloose. I've seen parts of it. I don't think I watched the whole thing through. So I'm not familiar with what type of tractor this is. As a farm boy, I would be interested in knowing more about this tractor. Do you know, like, the make and model or anything, the color? Probably not, but...
Absolutely not.
Yeah. All right.
So I don't know if you know this, if you're familiar with the scene, though, Bill, if you haven't seen the movie, but the kids in this town, this kind of middle of nowhere farm town, they play a game of chicken with tractors.
Ah.
Two kids will get in tractors and just charge straight at each other and see who blinks, you know, who swerves out of the way.
Who jumps off the tractor first.
Yeah. And all the while, Bonnie Tyler is singing Holding Out for a Hero.
Me and my brother never actually thought of doing that when we were kids, but that's something we should have done, I think.
It's not too late.
Well, now that he's a dad, I don't think he'll be partaking in stuff like that.
Won't he be surprised when you show up tomorrow morning on your tractor? Get out here, you coward.
I'm calling you out.
I'll play chicken with you on a tractor, Bill.
Well, you got to get him to Michigan.
So we have Flash Gordon, Sam Jones, and the Highwayman driving a futuristic tractor trailer / helicopter versus Kevin Bacon in a town where you're not allowed to dance. Kevin's driving a tractor, but let's see what the nature of the competition is.
Yes.
Spoilers, Kevin's driving the winning tractor, just FYI.
In Footloose, Kevin was the winner, yes. But now the competition is Spider-Man.
Being Spider-Man?
Which one's the better Spider-Man?
Which, fighting Spider-Man?
Could this be Spider-Man in the Highwayman truck versus Spider-Man on the Footloose tractor? Or is it Sam Jones in the truck, but he's Spider-Man? And Kevin Bacon on the tractor is Spider-Man. What would be the better Spider-Man scenario? What do you think?
Yeah, I'm trying to wrap my head around this one.
Is it possible that we predict or we decide which vehicle could act more like Spider-Man under the right circumstances?
Yeah, go for it. What do you think?
So the tractor is used to being out in the country, whereas Spider-Man it requires tall buildings to swing from. So I think that gives the advantage to the Highwayman, a vehicle, because it can go into the city, even though you can't really fly helicopters in the city. At least it has aerial maneuverability.
Yeah, it's the Highwayman truck on the show was mostly like out in the desert, because they were shooting it in,
right.
In the deserts of Southern California. But the Highwayman truck also has the helicopter attachment, and Spider-Man could, you know, swing down from the helicopter. Who needs cities and skyscrapers when you got your own helicopter to swing from, right?
That's a darn good point, yes. So for a variety of reasons, I'm inclined to say the Highwayman vehicle for this.
That's solid logic. All right, you know, my heart belongs to Footloose more than the Highwayman, but if I'm Spider-Man, I think I'd rather be in that Sam Jones future truck helicopter thing.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And Jacko could play J. Jonah Jameson. All right, the Highwayman advances. Next, we have in the 80s vehicle flop fight. This was another suggestion from Bill, and this was a show that I really didn't watch. I was aware of it, but I never got into it. So, Bill, you might have to take the lead on this one. We have drawn, speaking of helicopters, how about Airwolf?
Oh, yes, the other great vehicle of the 80s, Airwolf. So it was pretty much Kit in the air, except right. it didn't talk, but it had the cool black sleek. It had the awesome theme song, which is still used in stuff today. It had the super speed mode, and it had all kinds of gadgets and whatnot.
Yeah, this was Jan Michael Vincent and Ernest Borgnine.
So to me, it always seemed like they wanted to have Tom Cruise. And they couldn't get Tom Cruise, so they got a Tom Cruise lookalike.
Airwolf itself was sort of a lookalike because there was a movie called Blue Thunder.
Blue Thunder.
Then suddenly they made a TV show out of Blue Thunder, and they made another TV show about a super helicopter called Airwolf.
Yeah.
They came out at the same time. Blue Thunder was canceled immediately, and then Airwolf ran for a long time.
I couldn't remember which was first. If it was Blue Thunder or Airwolf.
Blue Thunder movie came first.
Okay.
And then there were the two shows came out kind of simultaneously, I think.
Yeah. I think I watched the Blue Thunder movie years later and realized why I didn't watch it as a kid, because it's not for kids.
Okay. I don't think I've ever seen any of this.
Between the Blue Thunder TV show, which I watched, and the Airwolf TV show, which I watched, I vastly preferred Airwolf.
Well, so did everybody else. Well, let's see what the super helicopter Airwolf is up against. The next vehicle out of the mug is from another 80s TV series of the same era. We've drawn The A-Team van.
Ooh, another heavy hitter.
So I did watch the A-Team. I never got into Airwolf, but I sure watched my fair share of A-Team.
Oh, my dad, who doesn't really like TV or movies, actually enjoyed watching. So it was one of those things that we could watch as a family.
Oh, that's nice. I don't think that was the case in my house. Nobody cared about the A-Team except me.
The A-Team was just one of those things that was occasionally on a channel that I was flipping past. And if I saw it on, I'd watch it.
Yeah, I think me and my stupid friends, it caught us right at the exact right moment where we just thought it was the best.
It had action. It had a little bit of thought process. It had that MacGyver montage in the middle, usually.
Always a montage. Yeah, they'd have to build something.
We're trapped in this barn with all these parts. Oh, no. What are we going to do? Yeah. Let's build something.
We're trapped with a lot of welding equipment for some reason. A lot of like bazookas and machine guns and stuff, but nobody would ever really get hurt.
Yep.
Explosions everywhere. Like they'd launch grenades and stuff at jeeps and trucks, and the vehicles would just kind of spill over, and they'd show the guy leaping out and landing safely. The A-Team never hurt a fly.
Yes. Always AK-47s blazing.
But the van itself, they would kind of drive the van up to the abandoned barn and then, park the van safely and then build some new attack vehicle for the actual combat. The van itself didn't really see a lot of action. That's just how they would get from episode to episode.
Yes.
But it looked cool.
It looked awesome.
And it's also ridiculous, like the big black van with the fancy red racing stripe on it.
I love it.
One of a kind, instantly recognizable, and yet these guys were supposed to be like underground and hiding, running from the law.
Yes.
But they're running from the law in the most recognizable vehicle in Southern California.
That they are.
Which didn't quite add up. But we loved it. Well, it's Airwolf versus A-Team Van. It's all going to come down to the competition, of course, which is... All right, we'll have to figure this one out. The competition is winemaking.
Ooh. Wine making. Okay.
Cornflake just mailed me some wine. I've got bottles of wine that Cornflake sent me.
I didn't know you could mail wine.
I didn't either. I figured it out.
Nice. Good.
We've got bottles of wine here. We have not cracked open the wine yet, but thanks again for the wine. It was beautiful. It was made with earth fruit, according to the card that came with it. It's wine delivered to us by Robolar from Mars, made with earth fruit. Winemaking. Would the Airwolf helicopter or the A-Team van be more effective in the world of starting a vineyard, crushing some grapes?
So vineyards are usually on hills, which are hard to get to. And I'm wondering if the A-Team van can get up those hills to pick the grapes, whereas the Airwolf vehicle could definitely maneuver up there. And in fact, the wash of the rotors can just
slice up the grapes and
can just push them off the vine, slice them up, and do all that itself. So in terms of picking the grapes, at least I'm thinking Airwolf has a slight advantage here.
Just what I was thinking, Bill.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine the A-Team picking grapes. I feel like they wouldn't want to waste their time.
I'm picturing that it's not going well, though, if the A-Team in their van is trying to pull this off.
Yeah. I mean, I can see, like, Mr. T could stomp on the grapes once they've got them all in that giant tub.
Yeah, once they get them in the tub, the A-Team has some advantages.
Yeah. Howling Mad Murdoch, he could just leap in there and freak out and thrash around and crush the grapes.
But the A-Team themselves is not the van. We're talking about the van versus the Airwolf.
Right. Yes. How effective is the van when it comes to winemaking? So Bill is picturing the Airwolf helicopter out there over the hill in the vineyard, coming down at those grapevines.
But once you get it down there, I don't see how the Airwolf can squish the grapes.
You'd have to turn it on its head. It'd have to be upside down Airwolf.
Yeah, if Jan Michael Vincent turns that thing upside down and lowers it onto the grapes.
So yeah, I'm thinking Airwolf myself here.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah, I think we've also invented a whole new way to produce wine.
Oh, I want to see an upside down helicopter make wine wicked bad now.
We are announcing right now the Flopcast in Blastedville will be opening a new Airwolf winery. Crushing grapes with helicopter blades is the wave of the future.
There you go.
Chopper Chianti. That's what I want.
The winner is Airwolf.
Excellent.
Final opening match for this week. I have drawn. Well, going across to the other side of the world, down to Australia, the movie was BMX Bandits.
Yes!
We have the BMX bikes, driven by those teens in Australia in the mid-80s, in the movie BMX Bandits, starring a very young Nicole Kidman.
Perfect.
This movie was on HBO every 22 minutes when I was a kid. It was just, you turn on HBO, there's BMX Bandits, and it's just three Australian kids. They're being chased by bank robbers for some reason, and they're on their bikes. The highlight of the movie is at one point during the chase, the kids go down a water slide on their bikes.
Wow.
I think that only works in Australia because of the way the water spirals. That would not work up here.
So this is another one where I have to admit I never actually saw it.
Well, you didn't miss much.
But as a kid in the 80s, I definitely had BMX bikes.
Okay, so you know the vehicles then, if not the movie.
I was a sweet Thunder Huffy girl myself, but...
Yeah. We have the BMX Bandits, Australian bikes, going up against the Light Cycles from Tron.
Oh, bike-on-bike action.
This is a nice pairing right here.
These are very different bikes, though.
Yes. Tron was one of those movies that you watched as a kid, and it just grabbed your attention hard. I still love watching the movies to this day.
I was so excited about Tron. When I heard they were making a movie where you go inside a video game, just my head exploded. And I was not disappointed. I loved Tron. I still love Tron.
Yes.
I have a Flynn's Arcade shirt that glows in the dark, which I still wear to this day.
Very nice.
All right, so this is BMX Bandits versus Tron Light Cycles. Let's see what they're doing. The competition is, well, this is a returning classic from Flop Fights, because I think we've done this, at least once, maybe twice, but we keep throwing it back in the mug, and it's maybe more appropriate for this Flop Fight than any other. The competition is pizza delivery.
Oh. So the question is first of all, can the Tron light cycles work outside of the computer?
Yeah, for one thing, the light cycles, they are inside a video game. They're in a computer. Is anybody in the actual microscopic, tiny electronic world of Tron eating pizza pie?
If not, they should be.
And then secondly, even if they do exist in the real world, they're going to have a light trail behind them that's going to get the cops on their butt for causing all kinds of accidents.
You could actually slice the pizza with those trails from the Tron light cycles.
Oh, okay. You have a good point there.
Which would be cool. But that's not delivery, though. We're talking pizza delivery. I don't want the bike delivering my pizza also running over my pizza to slice it.
Yes.
Maybe you don't.
So meanwhile, in Australia, for one thing, do they enjoy pizza in Australia? They probably do.
Yeah.
I don't see why not.
Yeah, pizza's a global phenomenon at this point. They must have pizza down there.
The Australians love American culture.
Cheese is on the bottom in Australia, right?
Ah, there you go.
That's how it works. So the kids on their bikes, Nicole Kidman and the other two kids that nobody knows what their names are, can they deliver a good pizza? I imagine they'd be pretty good at it. They're very good on their bikes. They could take the bikes right down the water slides and still not even get the pizza wet, I'll bet. I have faith in these kids.
But would the pizza arrive hot?
Absolutely not.
It depends on the distance from the pizza place.
Yeah, but these kids might have to bike all the way across the outback.
Yeah, but if they have to go all the way across the up, and then no, it's not going to be out of the oven hot. It might be outback hot.
Well, I'll tell you what, whether it's logistically sound or not, I want my pizza delivered and sliced by a light cycle. No offense, Nicole Kidman.
It's a little weird, but if you feel this passionately about it, I'm willing.
I will also concede that it's a little zany. And
that's okay, though.
I mean, what would entertain you more on a Friday night?
Yeah, I mean, I guess we could consider the possibility of a light cycle leaping out into the real world. It'd be more like Auto Man.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's definitely the way that I would prefer my pizza be delivered if I had the choice. Yes.
Sure. So, I mean, it's our Flop Fight. We can do whatever we want. So, all right. You talked me into it, Cornflake.
I think Cornflake's passion has persuaded me as well.
Yeah.
Pizza passion.
Sorry, Australian teens. We want our pizza delivered by Tron. All right. The light cycles have won. That takes care of our opening matchups. We're going to the next round now, which means... it's going to be Turbo Teen versus the Highwayman.
Ooh.
And this time the competition is being a contestant on The Price is Right.
The Price is Right.
Oh.
Well, I think Turbo Teen has a clear advantage here in that it's a kid. He can actually fit into the audience.
It is hard to imagine the Highwayman truck crashing through the studio.
Spinning that wheel.
It's going to drive right over the grave of Bob Barker.
However, if anyone spilled any water on Turbo Teen, then suddenly he's a car, and anyone near him would be crushed, and a whole audience would be vastly disturbed.
Oh, stranger things have happened on The Price is Right. Come on.
I mean, if I'm watching Turbo Teen on The Price is Right, I want the car. I don't want just the kid in non-car form playing Price is Right. That's no fun. If the Highwayman gets up above the studio in the helicopter, that could really give him an advantage in dropping those giant Plinko chips. You know, they'd really have the angle.
Good point.
So Price is Right is a bit of guesswork and a bit of knowledge.
Yeah.
So Turbo Teen, as a teenager, he's very familiar with commercialism. You know, he wants to go out and buy stuff. Whereas the Highwayman is in a post-apocalyptic desert world where do they even have money in there? Does he have a concept of what the price of stuff is?
Yeah, that's true. When it comes to pure game strategy and game knowledge, Turbo Teen would certainly have a better grasp on what a box of Velveeta costs at the grocery store compared to Sam Jones and Jacko in the futuristic desert. They don't know what the price of anything is. That's a really good point.
And even if he did convert into a car, I somehow think it would be less destructive than a truck with a helicopter.
Yeah. Even in car form, I think Turbo Teen has the advantage. It's a smaller vehicle. It's a more nimble vehicle. And he has the relevant knowledge.
Yeah, I can't argue with that. You know, it would also be fun to see Turbo Teen make the transformation when it's time to spin that giant wheel.
Mm.
Yes.
The kid could stand next to the wheel, turn into the car, and then that would, you know, force the wheel to just start flying around like crazy. The wheel would probably come loose and roll straight up the aisle, terrorizing the studio audience. I would really like to see that.
Yes.
All right, Turbo Teen is the winner.
Takes it.
Playing Price is Right. Okay, and our next match then, it's Airwolf versus the Tron Light Cycles.
Cool.
With the Highwayman out of the game, Airwolf is the last remaining helicopter. The competition this time, I think we've done this one before, but I like it. It's bird watching.
Nice. Bird watching.
I mean, Airwolf, Tron Light Cycles, one obvious advantage leaps to mind.
The air and the Airwolf?
That's what I was thinking, yeah.
So Airwolf had a thing called whisper mode, which made it almost completely silent, which is important for bird watching.
Right, because you don't want to scare the birdies.
Yeah, because I was thinking birds are probably not crazy about helicopters, and they probably would tend to flee, but in stealth mode.
So you have the aerial advantage. It's also a government a helicopter designed for surveillance. So it's got all of the surveillance equipment already in it, and the Tron Light Cycles are just going to zoom around making noise.
Yeah, this seems pretty clear-cut. I mean, I love the Tron Light Cycles, and I'm not an Airwolf fan. I never really got into it. So again, if it's just based on what do I prefer, it's Tron. But this seems like a no-brainer. This is the competition's bird watching, and that's going to knock Tron right out of this thing. Airwolf, ideally suited for bird watching. I would like an Airwolf right now so I could just go watch some stupid birds.
Yeah, that is a slam dunk.
Absolutely. Well, that brings us to our final match for this week. The winner right now is going to move on to the very final round next week. But right now, it all comes down to Turbo Teen versus Airwolf. Whoop, it just happened. I just reached for my coffee. I stopped myself just in time.
Delicious.
Yeah, I did go for the wrong mug right now. All right, our final competition. It's Turbo Teen versus Airwolf. The competition is searching for Bigfoot.
I got to come back to the Airwolf is a surveillance vehicle. It's going to be up in the air, searching around, whisper mode, all that good stuff.
Yeah, this is not a far cry from bird watching. Once again, we have it's a surveillance operation for which Airwolf is ideally suited.
Yeah.
And again, this is going to break my heart because my heart belongs to Turbo Teen.
I was kind of hoping Turbo Teen would take the whole thing because that would have been wonderful.
Well, yeah, Turbo Teen is weirder and funnier, and that's what we like around here.
Yeah.
But if we're going to be true to the spirit of the flop fight and the competition is looking for Bigfoot, yeah, you better give me an Airwolf.
Yeah. I'm racking my brain to see if I can come up with anything that Triple Teen could offer to this. and I can't think of anything.
Well, Turbo Teen is so goofy. If Bigfoot's going to turn up, it might just be on Turbo Teen's watch, just because Turbo Teen's probably some kind of magnet for zaniness.
Like they could run into each other at a freak show is what you're saying?
Exactly. My point exactly. I couldn't have said it better myself, Kevin.
I feel like we are all on Team Turbo Teen, and yet we all have to go with Airwolf.
I think so.
Come on. It's a search for Bigfoot. I want to get in that crazy helicopter. All right. Advancing to the finals for next week. Our winner this week is Airwolf.
Woo! Airwolf fought hard for that win.
Yes.
All right. Well, our work is not done because Flop Fight Part 2 will be next week. But meanwhile, good job, everybody. Bill, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, of course.
Let's wrap things up for this week. Cornflake, how about getting us out of here?
Well, before we go, we want everyone to know where you find us between shows. Start off with flopcast.net. That's our website. It's got show notes from every single episode. We have facebook.com/flopcast. On Twitter, our handle is @flopcast. And we're on Instagram, the_flopcast. You can head on over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a rating and or a review. That will help other folks find the show who can spend just as much time thinking about which of these cars can do all the crazy things that we came up with this week. Music for the Flopcast is written and performed by the Sponge Awareness Foundation.
Footloose had Holding Out for a Hero by Bonnie Tyler. Other than Footloose, every other tractor fight in an 80s movie featured music by the Sponge Awareness Foundation. That's a true fact. You don't even have to look it up. Take my word for it. Cornflake, thanks for another fantastic flop fight. Hey, Bill, man, thanks for joining us. It's been a year. Thanks for coming back to Chicken Town.
Of course.
Always great to have you here. We're going to do it again next week. Meanwhile, everybody, please be safe, be kind, be silly, and we'll see you next week.
Peace and cookies.
Modern Musicology is a podcast covering topics on rock and pop, ranging mostly from the 70s, 80s, and 90s, with occasional excursions into the 60s and aughts, and even occasionally the 2010s. Anything is fair game. Classic rock, R&B, folk, punk, prog, rap, metal, and way more, with two Americans, one Brit, a ton of fun, and a healthy dose of cynicism.
Hey, Blasted Bill, welcome back to the Flopcast Secret After Show.
Excellent. I love being at the Secret After Show.
You're the only one besides me and Cornflake that even know that the After Show exists.
It seems to be a show just for me, and I love it.
Only the three of us share this secret. Bill, did you have anything for us to discuss in secret?
In secret, yes. There's actually a reason why I came up with the topic of the vehicles this week, is that I'm getting ready to go to a actual in-person convention at the end of April. I know that's not a thing everyone's comfortable with, but I feel comfortable at this time doing that. And I've put in a panel suggestion. I did this, I want to say it was 2018, based on your super vehicles showdown that you guys had down in Dragon Con.
Yeah.
I did one in 2018 at Penguin Con that I called the Sci-Fi Vehicle Showdown. And I had Mikey Mason as one of the judges, and that was lots of fun.
Oh, we love Mikey.
Yeah.
Mikey's awesome.
And so we did space-based vehicles at that point. So I submitted it for 2019, and for whatever reason, they rejected it. I don't know if I didn't get enough people the first time or whatever. But this year, they're really desperate for panels, and I'm like, I'll run a panel. So I'm doing the Sci-Fi Vehicle Showdown again for PenguinCon this year.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to do land-based vehicles.
Yeah, sure. So you're sort of in training right now.
Yeah, yeah.
For another upcoming vehicle tournament. Well, cool.
Yeah.
This is PenguinCon.
This is PenguinCon.
Which I assume is down in Antarctica.
It's in Southfield, which is right outside Detroit. It's a combination of all kinds of conventions. It started as a half sci-fi, half Linux convention, and it's morphed into you name it, we have it kind of convention. So I think my track is going to be what they call the Mayhem track, which is just all kinds of stuff, a little bit like the American Sci-Fi Classics, but you know, a lot more different variety. And yeah, it's going to be lots of fun to get back to a con in person.
Absolutely, and that's this month. That's later in April.
That's later in April. I think it starts April 26th, whatever Friday is nearest that.
Cool. All right. Well, hey, Michigan people, go see our friend Blasted Bill at PenguinCon for more of vehicle tournament action. Maybe in your tournament, Turbo Teen will fare a little better.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see.
We can hope.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping at the TeePublic store, which can all be found at esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.